Hello, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Mark, in the New Testament, chapter 5, with 43 verses, translation and commentary, and then also I have an essay on possessing the Lord, or possessing the kingdom of God, possessing Canaan land, possessing the kingdom of heaven. And then we have some letters and other things for you, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord, ask him to anoint outwardly this service, so, and Lord, that we are able to understand the things that you're going to anoint with from heaven. Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and our ears, spiritual ears, because we do have eyes other than our temporal eyes on the outside, this carnal body of ours. We have spiritual eyes. We have a spirit inside this body that looks like us. And we, the spiritual body has eyes and ears and nose and mouth, arms, legs, everything. So, Lord, we ask that you teach our spirits, magnify yourself into our spirits. Lord, we want to be more and more one with you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, because we're your body. And you are our head, and we are your living place where you live, your abode, your house. You are to possess us, you own us, and therefore you want us to allow you to live out your life in and through us. Lord, we ask that the souls will be saved and the church edified through this message this evening. Well, in Jesus' name, we pray that you'll rebuke and reprove all those in the world that are sinners and think they can continue on in sin. Those in the pornography industry, Lord, open their eyes so that they can see that you are know the very intents of our heart. You know what everyone in the world is doing, what they're thinking. And they need to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and none of us know when you're going to return. Lord, we ask you to bind Satan here on this earth and in the airways. Bind him. You said whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Lord, we ask you to bind in heaven and on earth the things that are going on here, that you will be able to withhold the tsunamis and the tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes, because these will continue from you, as you said, as people continue ignoring your word, ignoring your warnings. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
The first letter's from Zulia, Venezuela.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, many people are being converted through your literature, but we need a lot of Bibles. If you are able, we need you to send us the Bibles for the new believers, who are many. May God bless you. So long. I will be waiting for your response. Pastor William Chirinos from Zulia, Venezuela.
Praise the Lord. Make sure they get their Bibles. And what else?
The next letter is from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
It says, respected man of Christ, most cordial greetings to you and to all those who are standing for the Lord's cause in the mighty name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you very much for your letter, along with the audio cassettes, with great spiritual messages. I want to take this opportunity to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your faithful support. What we have experienced recently in the harvest fields of the Lord has been simply astonishing, and with the help of your literature has made it possible. Often I can feel your prayers and intercession lifting the campaigns onto a plateau of blessing that results in eternal salvation of millions of precious souls. You may have given your last penny to help send us out, knowing that no other gift is more precious than the gift of salvation. This time I want you to see for yourself the first fruits of your support and see how you have helped to make impossible possible. One can give and not love, but no one can love and not give. It is clear, but your support is a gift of love, and I want to show you what a difference you have made in the lives of millions. I thank you for all the help you have been doing through all these days for establishing the Lord's kingdom here in India. I also thank you for reading my letter in your radio program. I praise the Lord for giving this much privilege. I also feel happy and proud to have your fellowship, which is guiding me to harvest great numbers of souls for Christ. You are the chosen one. Your messages are touching the hearts of the people such that their sins are flushed out in tears after hearing your messages. So I listen very carefully your sermons on audio tape and preach them in my ministry. I convey my heartfelt thanks for your kindness to share your knowledge. We have been engaged in this ministry as heavy rains walloped our area. Several diseases like flu, malaria, viral fever, and epidemic disease. So we are consoling them by providing medicine, food, and encouraging them with the Word of God. We have been doing all these by faith, and whatever the Lord is providing us, we have been sharing that with the people who are in need. In this critical period, I seek your fervent prayer for our people and for their healing. If the Lord leads you, kindly extend your prayerful support for these unfortunate people. You promised us to send literature and Bibles. This time also you wrote to me, quote, "We will also be happy to send your literature, Bibles, and whatever we're able to send you to help you in the winning of souls." So this time I request you and beseech you to send some holy Bibles in Telugu, at least 500, along with literature like The Messiah, Dry Bones, Pearl Harbor, etc. If possible, kindly extend your support in whatever way possible for the disease-affected people in our area. I will be grateful to you for this act of kindness. We are praying for you, for the endeavors, and all the members of the Alamo Christian Ministries. Please pray for our work and for us. We need your love, prayers, encouragement, guidance, and support for everything we do for stabling His mighty kingdom in this heathen land. We are much eager to hear from you. Your prayerful, encouraging reply will be a great encouragement to us. So write us back at your earliest, thanking you in anticipation. Yours faithfully in Him, Evan Henry.
Well, the Lord tells, praise the Lord. The Lord tells us to give till it hurts, and so we're going to do that. We're doing supporting many ministries all over the world, but I'm going to instruct to send them, which is a lot to us. I know to many ministries it's not, but $5,000 along with the Bibles and everything else they ask for. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Got to help, you know, and if people will support this work, we'll make sure that they get it. All right, then what else?
The next letter is from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor, it is my pleasure and privilege to write to you after being compelled by the Spirit that I should not just keep quiet. My prayer is that it finds you well. I am writing from Zambia, Africa. I came across one of your literatures, Mass Suicide. It is really so powerful, touching, equipped, and also a warning. It touched me and moved me to a different level in faith. If what I felt is what really people can feel when they read your literature, I think everyone can get ready for the coming events and also the coming Messiah, King Jesus. Pastor, I am a Pentecostal believer, 3 years old. I am serving the Lord as a local church secretary. This month, God has added 2 more responsibilities to my line of service. I am now a deacon and a Bible studies coordinator. As you can see, Pastor, these are very sensitive areas spiritually, such that I have to be very careful in the way I speak the Word of God to others. God has seen my heart and how I am capable of serving in His kingdom. My prayer always is that He gives me wisdom and also knowledge, but I believe that He will never fail me. In our area, Pastor, books, tapes, music, and video CDs are very expensive and at times scarce. Hence, I thought to ask you if you can really assist me with even used ones as long as I get the message out to them, which I can also distribute to His people. This way, I thought I can gather as much knowledge as needed for God's equipping of His people. My desire, Pastor, is to serve my Lord with all I have and also can see how you can assist. That could be your extended line of the Lord's service in our country. I await your response, thanking you so much, and may God keep on revealing things to you for His people and bless you. In the Lord, Yoram Chungu.
Okay, send them more literature and track Messiah books. And I've approved several pieces of music, including our own, to them so that they can have them. And maybe 10 or of each CD, all right?
Okay.
Then, now, what else?
Mark chapter 5.
All right, now we have Mark chapter 5. Well, we'll start out with the translation on this, and then we'll do the commentary.
Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. Verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the land of the Gerasenes. Verse 2. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. Verse 3. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Verse 4. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. Verse 5. All day long and throughout the night he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. Verse 6.
That reminds me of a man that was in our church that he was so self-willed, it was unbelievable. He had been in our church for maybe 3 years, and then there was a young man, there was a woman that he wanted to marry. But the girl wanted to marry another young man that wanted to marry her. And so he came up to me one day while we were loading a truck, and he said, "Get her for me." And I said, "Hey, she wants to be married to somebody else." And so he got very angry, and he stomped off the and not long after, he was hit by a truck and paralyzed for the rest of his life. He's been in a wheelchair now for around, I would say, at least 30 years now. And one time he was started smoking, and there was no nurse around to take the cigarette out of his mouth, and it fell out, and he started burning up. And he was screaming, but he couldn't scream very loud, and he was burnt very badly. I've seen so many times when people resisted the authority of the Lord here on earth, which is a commandment of the authority in heaven. I've seen them riddled with every kind of horrible disease that's possible, and then things like this. Many of them have been killed and are dead now. And they were young people, much younger than myself, and they're gone. And so that's what these demon spirits, he just wouldn't receive the word of the Lord. And when you don't, the evil spirits will not leave you. Now, the Lord really requires that we do exactly what he says. And that is to move on with him. And Moses stated that he would not move one foot without God being with him, without the word of God. When we have the word of God, we have God with us. But if you ignore what the word of God says, then God will allow some horrible thing to happen. It's in the all throughout the Bible, and you will not have him. You'll call on him, but he won't. Read the first chapter of Proverbs. Read Deuteronomy. Read the New Testament. He said it's like when you get saved and then you backslide, it's like a dog that returns to its vomit and a sow to its wallowing in the mire. And the Lord says that there remains no more forgiveness. There's only one thing that's left for you, and that's to wait, knowing that you're going to have a horrible judgment, and that'll be the end of you. And when you stand before the Lord, you know for sure that your soul is going out to hell in the lake of fire. So you have the exact word of God, and so you don't try to bend it or change it or put your own English on it, your own ideas or philosophies. Just receive it the way it is if you want to go to heaven. All right, then what?
Verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. Verse 7. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, quote, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me!" Exclamation point, unquote. Verse 8. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, quote, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit," unquote. Verse 9. Then Jesus asked, quote, "What is your name?" unquote. And the spirit replied, quote, "Legion, because there are many of us here inside this man," unquote. Verse 10. Then the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. Verse 11. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Verse 12, quote, "Send us into those pigs," unquote, the evil spirits begged. Verse 13, Jesus gave them permission. So the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake where they drowned.
So that meant that there was at least 2,000 demons in that man's body. All right? He told them to go. They did not want to go to a faraway place, which is not that far. So you're one heartbeat from heaven or hell. And that seems far away to us, but it's not far. Just one heartbeat, and you're either in heaven or hell. Then what else?
Verse 14. The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves. Verse 15. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed, for he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. Verse 16. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it. Verse 17. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Verse 18. When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Verse 19. But Jesus said, quote, "No, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been," unquote.
It reminds me when the Lord appeared to me at nighttime with my eyes wide open. He came in like with a rod of, it looked like vapor. And then the vapor with a sound, a hissing sound, turned into an oval-shaped mirror, and he was sitting there. And I said, "Lord," and I thought he's taking me right then. I had a big smile on my face, and he said, "Not now." In other words, you can't come with me right now. He wanted me to stay and tell the others of the wonderful things that the Lord had done. And so I'm telling you the things that he's done for me and that I've seen him do for others. And, you know, like the prophet said, who has believed our prophet's report? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then it goes into telling how that the Lord is coming, came to the world out of a dry ground. There was no, absolutely no word of truth anywhere in the world. And the Lord came into this world as a man and taught us the ways of how to enter the promised land, the good land, the land of Canaan, the land which is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to be talking about that more. Then what else?
Verse 20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to tell everyone about the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them.
Right, and that's what I want. I went over to 10 towns. I've gone to the whole world. Because the Lord really, I have no idea how many demons he cast out of me, but I knew it must have been a lot because I sure love him a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Those that have sinned a lot love a lot. Those that think that they're goodies, you know, that they've never done anything, they don't love. Then there's a lot of people that sin, and they never really surrender their entire life over to the Lord. And a lot of times they live in a dream world. They're dreaming that everything is fine. But when their spirit leaves their body, they'll wake up to a very crude awakening when the Lord tells them to depart into hell and the lake of fire. Go ahead.
Jesus heals and responds to faith. Verse 21. When Jesus went back to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Verse 22. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. Verse 23. Quote, "She is about to die," unquote, he said in desperation. Quote, "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live," unquote. Verse 24. Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. Verse 25. And there was a woman in the crowd who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Verse 26. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years, and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. Verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. Verse 28. For she thought to herself, quote, "If I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed," unquote. Verse 29. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel that she had been healed! Verse 30, Jesus realized it was that healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, quote, "Who touched my clothes?" unquote. Verse 31, his disciples said to him, quote, "All this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" unquote. Verse 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Verse 33, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. Verse 34, and he said to her, quote, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed." Unquote. Verse 35, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, quote, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." Unquote. Verse 36, but Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, quote, "Don't be afraid, just trust me." Unquote. Verse 37, then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. Verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the weeping and wailing. Verse 39, he went inside and spoke to the people. Quote, "Why all this weeping and commotion?" unquote, he asked. Quote, "The child isn't dead, she is only asleep." Unquote. Verse 40, the crowd laughed at him, but he told them all to go outside. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Verse 41, holding her hand, he said to her, quote, "Get up, little girl!" exclamation point, unquote. Verse 42, and the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, exclamation point. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Verse 43, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened, and he told them to give her something to eat.
All right, praise the Lord. Now that was the 43 verses in chapter 5 of Mark, and now we have the commentary.
Internal bondage, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. We've come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity.
How did we come to that power to believe such a thing? I'll answer you. By reading the Word of God and by living the life of the Lord in this world, the Lord's power lives within us. And by the Lord's power living within us, we who have the Lord's power living within us, which is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, are able to lay hands on the sick and afflicted, and they shall recover. They are healed. And also, those of us that have the power of the Lord in us have the capability of preaching the Word and teaching the Word of the Lord, which is the Lord Himself. And when they receive this faith into them from the Word, and they are able to become Christians. According to the many letters we get and what we see here in the United States, we see that millions of souls are coming to the Lord through the power of God that is abiding within us. But we have to realize the Lord's abiding power. The Lord doesn't, Moses didn't want to go anywhere, not even one step further, unless the Lord was with him. But now the Lord is in us, and so we have to make sure that the Lord is living in us with his abiding power. And when you have his abiding power in us, you're asked such a question as, how do we know, and you don't know the answer? Well, it's maybe because you're not, you don't have the power of God in you. And if you don't, well, then you're lost. And so we do have to have the Lord abiding within, so that we are able to possess the power needful to be in the ministry and to be able to do the things, allow the Lord to live his life out in us. Okay, but if the Word of the Lord is just a bunch of words that you're reading, like you're reading a Reader's Digest or something, or, some textbook, well, it shows. And the Lord told, Moses told the Lord, he said, "I want you to go with us, because if you don't, how will people in the world know that we're your chosen people? There won't be any difference between us or the people of the world." That's why you must be with us, or else I'm not going one more foot further. Now, the reason that the Lord, that the importance of the power abiding with us is that when an unsaved person or a saved person comes to me and wants to be healed, I want for the Lord to show that his abiding power is in me, so that when I do lay hands on them and speak the word, that these people are going to be healed. That proves that at least I am a person that can show the world that the Lord is abiding with me with his power. Okay, so that's the answer that you didn't know.
When we are under the influence of our addictions, its hold may, to you, seem to have the supernatural force, and it does have satanic force.
Right, it does, because, first of all, you must know that the Lord is with you, or else why are you going another foot? Why are you even not afraid to go out of your door during the day? Why are you not afraid to drive down the street if the Lord, if you don't believe that the Lord is abiding with you, and if you don't believe that he's leading, guiding, and directing you through the things that you're doing every day? How is it that you have such nerve, such unmitigated gall, such a ridiculous attitude to not let to know that you to not know that the Lord is living with you? And why is it that you even speak? Because the Lord states that he wants, when we speak, for it to be him. All right, and then a lot of people are offended when the Lord speaks through me. But I could care less, because I'm out to please the Lord, not you. I'm out to win your souls, and the Lord is as well, very much so, wants to win your soul, and so do I want to work in cooperation with him to do so. But you must have the Lord with you all day long. And you say, well, he's with me. That's, you know, like mind over matter type thing. No, he has to be in you, living in you and talking to you, and you talking to him, and you getting direction from him. Otherwise, you're just living in a dream world, mind over matter. It's something like Christian Science religion, false religion stuff. Okay, then go ahead.
But you may give up on living because you feel that you're not able to get rid of that force.
Yes, that's because you don't know that the power of God is living within you. And therefore, you are prone to let the addictions, the things of this world, overpower you, because you don't have the power of God in you. If you had the power of God in you, you wouldn't want to be addicted to any of the powers of this world, which are weak and beggarly powers. It's just ridiculous to even compare the power of God against the power of this menial power of Satan. Then what?
So you throw yourself into self-destructive behaviors with reckless abandon. People may also give up on those of us who are preaching the gospel. They may distance themselves from us as though we are already dead.
Whether we're not dead. I'm not preaching a dead gospel. I'm preaching life. The people out there that don't have life, that haven't accepted the gospel, you're dead. You're the one that's dead. You're according to anyone that would know the scriptures, you're living in a very morbid state to have to rely on drugs and alcohol and all the other crutches in the world. You're not strong because the power of God, the strength of God, is not in you. Then what?
Whether our, quote, insanity, unquote, is self-induced or has a more sinister origin, there is power available to restore us to sanity and wholeness. The Lord says those who keep their minds stayed upon the Lord shall have perfect peace and a sound mind.
Yeah, peace, that means Sabbath. When the Lord takes you into Canaan land, and you have Canaan land when you accept Christ into you, you have the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that's what I'm preaching, the kingdom of heaven. When Christ, who is the entire kingdom of heaven, he's everything. He's our water, he's our food, he's our air, he's our salvation, he's our cleansing power, he's our healing power, he's everything. The kingdom of heaven, he's the fruit and the vegetables. So we wouldn't have any fruit and vegetables or water or bread. He's our manna, the bread of life. So God is everything. He's the actual kingdom of God. So when you have him, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me, the kingdom of heaven, Christ, the word of God. And I'll give you rest, peace, rest for your souls, Sabbath for your souls. You'll be able to rest and have peace. And then you'll be able to throw your habits, your ungodly habits, down the toilet. You'll be able to just cast them off like a mangy rug or something that's on you. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right, then what?
Jesus helped a man who was insane. Quote, this man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with chains.
He actually delivered him completely. Amen?
Amen.
So a lot of people, they don't realize the word help. Like help, it's not as strong of a word as delivered the man completely. Amen?
Amen.
He completely delivered him. And then what?
Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains with his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones, unquote. Mark chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Jesus went into the graveyard and assessed the situation. He dealt with the forces of darkness that were afflicting the man and restored him to sanity. He then sent him home to his friends and told them what God had done for him. You may have gone so far into your addiction that you have broken all restraints.
Right, because you've just ignored the Lord. You've cast him away. And because you've cast him away, you've cast power, dominion, authority over your life, over sin, Satan, and the world, and you're a mess. You're lost. And you have no control of yourself. And if you want to gain control of yourself, there's all kinds of self-help books, but none of them really work for any. At all. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must have the real power in you. Now, the power that I'm speaking about is the same power that holds the whole universe up. He controls the tides. He can cause the tides to sweep over your home if you live by the seashore. He can cause it to stay away from you. And you should make sure that all your neighbors are saved as well, because he might want to get them, and you'll, because of your lack of interest in witnessing to them, may go out to tide with them as the tsunami hit over in Indonesia and also the hurricane over here at New Orleans. I'm not in New Orleans. I'm in Los Angeles at the moment. Then what?
You struggle to be free from the control of society and loved ones, only to discover that your bondage doesn't come from outside sources. All hope seems lost, but where there is still life, there is still hope. Where there is Jesus, there is deliverance.
Well, there's deliverance, there's salvation, there's the kingdom of heaven, there's everything. Amen?
Amen.
He's your food. The Bible speaks of him as being the bread of life, the manna. He is the spring of water, the fountain of water, the water of life. So he's everything. So praise the Lord. Then what?
God has touched so many people, and he will touch your insanity and restore you to sanity.
He doesn't only touch. He comes into your human body and resurrects you up into his life. And that, to his life, he's power. You're weak, okay? And I'm weak. But with him, we're more than conquerors. We can do all things in Christ Jesus. That means we can keep the commandments. And we can have peace and happiness and joy in a world of trouble. Everyone else is troubled, but not us. Everybody watches the stock markets, you know, or they watch, you know, the price of gasoline. I just say, Lord, if you want me to drive someplace, then send the finances in. Or you want our troops to go out and continue distributing literature and for us to be able to send mail out to people and distribute literature on the streets, well, then send in the loot. Send in the loot. And he does. And so I just really don't pay that much attention to gas prices. Somebody mentioned it's $3.01. Man, I says, I can remember when gas was 19 cents a gallon and 14 cents and 10 cents a gallon. Well, that's a long time ago. Amen?
Amen.
That's when I was about 7 years old, 6 or 7, something like that. Look at the gas prices. And then people that smoke today, my God, I don't know how they can afford it. It used to be, a nickel a pack. Then it went to the outrageous 10 cents a pack, a whole dollar for a carton of cigarettes. Now, I don't know what, somebody said it costs like, what is this, enormous amount of money, $30 for a carton of cigarettes instead of a dollar. That's gone up 30 times, amen?
Yeah.
Might even be more than that, I don't know, I don't smoke. Okay, then what else?
Chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Jairus was among a minority of Jewish leaders who responded positively to Jesus. Driven by love for his daughter and faith that Jesus could help her, Jairus...
Not only help her, but heal her and bring her back to life if necessary. Okay, then what? That's more than help. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Jairus risked the scorn of his peers by publicly seeking Jesus' help. In the end, you could see that his humble faith paid off because his daughter was healed, was raised from the dead. Some of you avoid this kind of miracle from the Lord because you are too ashamed to admit publicly that you have problems and you don't have the faith to believe that Jesus could take care of all of your problems. But if you cannot humbly, as the Lord commands, confess your sins, there is no hope for your healing.
There's no hope for your salvation either. You cannot be saved. You cannot go to heaven. You must go to hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Like Jairus, you must risk the scorn of your friends and enemies and admit your failures. If you do, you can be sure that Jesus will be there to help you.
He'll be there to deliver you from all your problems. Amen?
Amen.
So, then what?
No problem is too great for the Lord to solve. No wound is too deep for him to heal. Chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. Sometimes you may feel so ashamed of your sins that you think God's opinion of you must mirror your ability to be able to be liked by anyone else or your self-loathing that you have experienced. Such was the case with the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and probably lived as an outcast. This hemorrhaging was more than likely a menstrual uterine disorder which would have made her ritually, quote, unclean, unquote. See Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. According to Jewish law, anyone who touched her would also be rendered unclean. But instead of shrinking back from touching Jesus, she reached out in faith and was miraculously healed. You must never allow fear or shame to keep you from approaching God for forgiveness and for healing. If you are unsaved, God will forgive all your former sins, and He also forgives the sins of ignorance if you'll ask. He is waiting for you to reach out and touch Him.
Right, because He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again in the Spirit. He wants you to have peace and quiet and calm and Sabbath, peace and rest for your souls. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath for your souls, rest for your souls. Don't you want rest in this satanic world? Or don't you want to just be able to rest and know that in the event that the breath goes out of your body, that you're born of the Spirit, that you're going to be right in the presence of the Lord, and He's going to have a smile on His face rather than a frown? Okay, so that's it, right? All right, now I have an essay on possessing the kingdom of God, possessing Jesus, possessing life, possessing the manna, the bread, the water, salvation, healing, everything. Okay, in heaven itself. Go ahead, read.
Ephesians chapter 3.
This has to do with Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18.
We need to know how to possess the land, the kingdom of heaven. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, we know that we inherit the land through the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the manna, the ark, and the tabernacle.
Yeah, because there's the little Jesus. And then there's the big Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the little Jesus is the lamb that in the book of Exodus, where they were leaving, everyone had to kill a little lamb, which was symbolic of little Jesus. And little Jesus was born in a manger. Amen?
Amen.
But then He grew up. And then He showed us the way to go. And then He kept all the commandments. And then He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And so that was the big Jesus. He fulfilled everything. And he's not on the cross anymore. They took him down. So, you know, a lot of religions, such as Catholicism, leave him. They like to leave pictures of him dying on the cross. But, you know, the Lord wants us to say the things that he says. Behold, I am he who is dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's not on the cross any longer, people. All right? He's living in the kingdom of heaven, and he's living in people's spirits, in their hearts. And he can live in your spirit right now if you'll accept him. Then what?
In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it states, quote, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love,
that you, being rooted and grounded in faith of the Word of God, okay, then what?
Which is the keeping of God's commandments.
Yes. Okay, then what?
May be strong to apprehend with all the saints.
Okay, what does that mean? Be strong to apprehend with all of the saints. I want everybody to know what she's reading, so that you're able to have, not of yourself as one person, but to have with all the saints, the whole body of Christ, so that you can apprehend that you yourself as a single person, that you yourself is just by yourself, can leave the body of Christ, enter the kingdom of heaven by yourself. You must apprehend the Lord as a group, just as the people of Israel had to be delivered as a group to out of Egypt, and that they had to go into the Canaan land, the promised land, as a group, not one person. It's one body of people. That's what it's saying. Okay, now go ahead.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you...
Okay. As a group, if you make yourself part of the group, then so that God can enter your heart by faith. Because there's no way that you can possess the land outside the group. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
It says, with all the saints. Amen?
Amen.
A-L-L. So you must partake in church services. If you don't believe in my church, well, then you do have to go to a church. Well, my church, which is Christ's church, then you must go to a church that believes in the fullness of the stature of Christ, which means that you must be all one body of people. You cannot, if the whole nation of Israel was to enter into Canaan land in September, one person can't go in on September, and then a few more go in October, and then November somebody else go in, and then the day after tomorrow somebody else go in. You have to be part of the corporate body of Christ. Do you understand?
Yes.
That's what it's saying there. But you don't understand it until I explain it. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That Christ may dwell in your heart.
Okay, if you do, if you're part of the corporate body, then Christ will dwell in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
To the end that you, being rooted and grounded
so
in love...
Because that you be... To the end that you'll be... rooted and grounded together in love. I mean, and that love means that you're keeping that commandment to be part of the corporate body of Christ. That's a commandment. All right? He says there's only one body. Amen?
Amen.
So you as an individual cannot live outside the body. So those are the people of you that say, well, I know that my church is wrong. I mean, there's a bunch of bad people here and everything, and I know that the doctrine is wrong and everything, but I'm going to stay. You're not required to stay in a church that the doctrine is wrong, but you're to go to it, to be part of the body of Christ where the doctrine is perfect. All right? Outside of that body, the body of Christ, whether it's out there singularly or you're a corporate, part of a corporate body of a heresy, you're still going to hell. You must be in the body of Christ where the pure doctrine is. Okay, that's what it means by love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Read that line again.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, which is the keeping of God's commandments.
Yeah, you're rooted and grounded in keeping God's commandments by being part of the body of Christ. One group, one corporate body. Then what?
May be strong to apprehend.
Yeah, because if you're one body, you're strong. You cannot be strong outside the body, because every person in the body of Christ has something every day to offer you for strength and for a purpose and everything. They have something from Christ to feed you, to keep you, to anoint you. Okay, then what?
With all the saints, what is the...
With all the saints, you understand. Right? That's better. It has to be the whole body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
What is the breadth, the
length? Yeah, there's no way that you can know, unless you're in the body of Christ, what the length or the breadth or what else?
And the height.
Or the height of Christ is, or what?
And
the
depth.
The depth of Christ. You can know all things, amen?
Amen.
In the body. With all the saints. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So that's very important, to not rush through these scriptures, all right?
Yes.
You have to meditate as you go. Reading, you know, real fast and not understanding what you're reading is of no avail. I mean, you might as well be reading Hickory Dickory Dock real fast, because you have no conception of what Hickory means or Dickory. Or Doc, and what the reason was for the mouse running at the clock. Amen?
Amen.
You have to analyze it. Okay, of course I'm just being facetious here. Okay, what else?
In these two verses...
In that respect, with the clock. Okay, then what else?
In these two verses, there are many things that must be noticed and recognized and remembered. And you must remember them all the time very well.
You've got to remember to stay in the body. That's one thing for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Pay attention to the word, quote, dwell, unquote, in verse 17.
If you're going to dwell in the body of Christ, then you must be part of the whole body. Amen?
Amen.
Not singularly outside there trying to make it yourself, because there's nobody that can do that and enter heaven. Not one person can do that. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It is a little word with a big, big meaning, a very weighty meaning. In the original tongue, the word for, quote, dwell, unquote, has the same root as the word for, quote, house, unquote, and, quote, home, unquote.
There's a song, in my father's house are many mansions. In the complete house of God, the whole body of Christ, are many people that God lives in. My father's house, he has many mansions. But people twist it around that he is going to make many mansions for us to live in. No, we live in one body, one big mansion. We live in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're the temple of God. We're the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
But only if we're part of the corporate body of the one body of Christ, so that we can know the height, the length, the depth, and the breadth of Christ. There's no way that you can learn it all unless you fellowship one with another. And unless the people in the church, the true church, the true body of Christ, tell the things that the Lord has done for them that day, and one day at a time, and to make sure that the people get into the church, and that to hear, also to make sure that the people in the church receive this message, so that they can know what these scriptures mean. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
I want to translate the original word for you in the Greek into, quote, make his home, unquote. This has a deeper and much more full meaning than just, quote, dwell, unquote.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ wants to make his home in our hearts, that we, I'm talking about the entire corporate body of Christ, may be strong to apprehend, to understand.
To get. To apprehend means to get something. Okay? And to understand that you all the things that are necessary for you to have to for you to be able to apprehend, to have the kingdom of heaven, to have Canaan land, how to possess the land. All right?
Yes.
You're not going to possess it any other way. So if you've got visions of sugar plums dancing through your head and that you're going to waltz off into the twilight zone, so forget it. If you want to go to heaven, all right?
Amen.
Everything will be better, you know, outside the body. Amen?
Yeah.
No. Okay, good. As long as... See, we made the point then.
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
The Lord Jesus Christ wants to make his home in our hearts that we... I'm talking about the entire corporate body of Christ.
That we, not I, okay? I'm not the whole corporate body of Christ. I can't get into heaven if I run off from you, a lot of you people. Even if you do things that drive me up a wall during the day, I mean, I still am not going to run away from you. Okay? And you're not going to run away from me either, because when you do that, you're running away from the church, the body of Christ, okay? Which I am a part of. And if you want to get into heaven, then we... Okay, it talks of we. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The Lord Jesus Christ wants to make his home in our hearts that
our hearts. Amen?
Yes.
That what we...
Yes.
Then what?
I'm talking about the entire corporate body of Christ may be strong to apprehend, to understand, to grasp onto, not just notice. It is not just that we may be able to apprehend or receive or understand, but that we may be, quote, strong, unquote, to apprehend.
Yeah, we have to... And we can't be strong outside the body. Okay? Because the body of Christ is what's strong. Amen?
Amen.
Outside the body, you're like, you know, out in Montana, you see a wounded antelope or a moose or an elk stray away from the rest of them. And you know that's going to be lunch for a bunch of coyotes or wolves. All right? Or especially if they're a little bit wounded. And it's the same thing with anyone that is so foolish to leave the actual body of Christ. Well, there's thousands of churches. The Lord says that most of them are of the devil. All right? But there's only one body of Christ. Okay, then go.
We have to be very strong to get. Apprehend means to get something, to get the good land. This also is a very powerful and weighty word. What it means in Greek is to, quote, have full power, unquote.
The full power is only in the corporate body of Christ. Because there's only one Christ, amen?
Amen.
Your arm can't make it without the body, amen?
Amen.
Your legs or your toes or your ears. You cut the ear off, throw it in the garbage, it's going to rot with the rest of the turnip greens and whatever else is in there. Okay, what else?
Full power means that you can have everything that you ask for by faith. So we can have all these things by faith. I could translate the verse in this way, quote, that ye may have full power to receive or apprehend or have, unquote. Now let's pay attention to the word, quote, apprehend, unquote. We're not supposed to just know or understand, but to possess whatever it is that the Lord wants us to possess.
He wants us to possess the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
If you had somebody ask, well, what does the Lord want us to possess? He wants us to possess him. He's the kingdom of God. He wants us to possess the manna, which is the word of God. He wants us to possess the water. He wants us to possess the air. He wants us to possess the atmosphere, the ground, the good earth, the good kingdom of heaven. Okay? Then what?
We're not supposed to just know or understand, but to possess whatever it is that the Lord wants us to possess.
I can understand and know about an automobile, but... I want to, you know, if I want to get around, I have to own it. You know, I have to possess it, right?
Right.
So if you want to get someplace into the kingdom of heaven, you have to possess, be part of the body, the corporate body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be actually possess it, not know it or think about it. Then what?
We're not supposed to just know or understand, but to possess whatever it is that the Lord wants us to possess by knowing that we have it already. To obtain something by understanding... To apprehend. What are we to apprehend? Well, we're supposed to know and receive the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, the incredible, omnipresent spaciousness or all in all of Christ.
Yeah, you can't do that unless you're part of the corporate body of Christ, part of the church. Okay, then what?
He's unlimited, the unlimited dimensions of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing we are to apprehend is we're to apprehend such a phenomenal Christ with all the saints. That means corporately. The reason it's corporate...
With all the saints, the corporate body of Christ. Okay, then what?
The reason it's corporately is because it is impossible for one single person to apprehend such an unlimited God, unlimited Christ, unlimited one. It must be with all the saints together. So to bottom line everything, Christ wants to make his home in our hearts. Then we will have full power to apprehend with all the brothers and sisters.
Well, yeah, corporately, then what?
I'm saying us, to obtain by understanding the unlimited, bottomless spaciousness of Christ with all the saints.
Well, praise the Lord. I pray that everybody was able to understand that. And so far you've heard chapter 5 of the book of Mark with its 43 verses, translation in commentary. And then also you've heard some very good letters from different parts of the world. And then this message on possessing heaven, possessing the good land, possessing Christ, really, the bottom line. So right here on earth, we have to possess Christ, and we must keep possessing him by being part of his body. We can't possess him outside the body, so we must be in the body while we're here and function in the body so that we can have the promised land, the kingdom of God. So anyway, praise the Lord. Tomorrow we'll be doing chapter 6, Lord willing, of Mark. And another message on the same subject. Plus, we'll have more letters. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.